there's more coming.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal Series, five wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, and Susan's latest book, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way. In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses at the Wise Woman University. But you can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Oh, green blessings. Thank you so much, Justine. It's always such a delight to spend time with you and with Rebecca. How are you doing, Rebecca?
I'm doing well. Had a beautiful blessing way at my house this weekend. And
I was going to say, pregnant woman, summertime, need a fan.
Yeah, it's like it's almost 100 degrees here today, which is hotter than it's been in a while. So.
And you're into the sixth month now?
No, actually, I have 5 weeks left. So,
35. Fast it goes. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't it amazing? Oh. Yeah, I had a blessing way at my house this weekend. And so I'm full of just this really beautiful, feminine, you know, gratitude of love from all of my awesome, amazing women friends.
Tell us a little more about it. Perhaps there are people listening who don't know what a blessing way is.
So there was a ceremony that we did a few different rituals where, like, they went around the circle and honored me, and everybody brought a bead to share with an intention going into the birth of a birthing necklace, and then everybody said how they knew me and, like, gave their appreciation for me in their life, which was just so amazing to hear people and how much they love you, you know. And then we connected each other with a web with a string around the whole group, and then we cut it symbolizing the umbilical cord that connects us all as a support network for me. And Yeah. But, oh, we shared our birth stories, too. And then we shared food at the end. And I went through a womb tunnel where I walked. They created a tunnel with all the women here, and I walked through, and it was like my birthing into a journey of motherhood.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was really powerful. It was amazing.
So important, and especially when we contrast that to how alone many women feel in the United States when they give birth.
Yeah, I mean, it really does put a sacred spin on it. You know, it's like really makes the ordinary is a remembrance of how we are all connected as women. Even if you haven't given birth, there were like women that hadn't given birth, but it's just that we're all connected and we're all here to support each other, and it's really powerful. So if anybody has the opportunity to be a part of that, it's really amazing.
We have all been part of a birth, our
yes.
own.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. So we all have at least a little expertise
mm-hmm.
in knowing, you know, that where we can support and how we can do that support. And I think as you're telling us this about the three traditions of healing, the scientific tradition, which measures and fixes, the heroic tradition, which cleanses and balances, and the wise woman tradition, which nourishes wholeness. And nourishment, I often say, is a three-legged stool. It is certainly what we put into our mouths, but it is also compassionate listening and simple ceremony. And the blessing way ritual that you're talking about is a very simple ceremony. It didn't require you to spend hundreds of dollars to rent a place, to have a party, to decorate, to have party favors. In fact, it was very much the opposite. It was a
yeah,
very
every woman tributes a little bit and it makes
home.
A whole.
So you all felt adequate. You all felt good enough. You all felt like what you had to offer was cherished.
Mm-hmm.
Rather
yeah,
than the nervousness
much.
That I've seen many women in throwing a party. Oh, did I do it right? Do I have the bouquets right? Did I see these paper a bit right? And it's just, it's like they're not having any fun at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have this wonderful ritual way of weaving women together, especially at times in our life, that are scary, that provoke anxiety. Your life's going to change.
Big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. So those women were there to tell you that they're there for you and to symbolize the fact that all women are there for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any callers waiting?
We have one caller waiting, and I just want to mention at 9 o'clock, Nikki Scully is joining us.
My dear and boon companion, Nikki Scully, are you ever going to like this evening's talk between Susan Weed and Nikki Scully?
And you know she lives in Eugene, and I saw her at the saltwater pool here, and I made the connection, so just to let you know.
All right, good.
So she's one of Eugene's very own.
Indeed.
Okay, we have one caller waiting in the 714 area code.
Hello, you two. Hi, Susan and Rebecca. It's Kathy Strand.
Hi, Kathy. How are you this evening?
I really appreciate Rebecca sharing that beautiful ceremony for her upcoming child. That is beautiful, especially that I've been to a few showers, wedding showers this year, and you're right, Susan, it's a complete opposite of what Rebecca experienced. That's beautiful.
Well, maybe
and
you could start a new tradition in your circle. Give up
right,
the shower
right.
and a thing way.
It's so true, and even the attendees have stress. we went to her my niece's wedding too. I mean, it was nice, beautiful. We had fun. But even it's stressful then because you got to wear a dress and buy a dress and the shoes and the da-da-da. It's too much. Or it's very stressful, I should say. But we still had fun, but it's still very stressful.
But do I look right? Did I give the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? And all of this right takes us further and further away from real.
I love that. You're right. So right. Susan, I have two questions. That you're so real.
And people often mistake my being real for saying that I'm right. I'm not right. I'm simply real. It's a difference.
Yes. You're very real. You're so real.
I also happen to be very perceptive, and being an Aquarius, I can usually tell, 3 to 30 years ahead of time where things are going. I'm wonderful looking at the medical journals coming in, mammography rethought. Perhaps we shouldn't be telling women to have mammograms. Gosh, we seem to be really hurting a lot of women with mammograms. Gosh, the amount of cancer that we're finding has really been overblown. Gee, I mean, how long ago did I start talking about that? People called me crazy for advising women not to get mammograms. I said, well, I'm not just advising them to not get mammograms. I'm proactive. I'm advising them to take care of their breasts.
Right.
Yeah. So what's up with you in your life?
Well, I have a question for my sister-in-law. And perhaps one of these days maybe I'll go over to her house and we can call you together. And then a question, an easy question about making my own tooth powder or something to brush my teeth. So that's going to be fun to talk about. My sister-in-law has what the medical people call a rare neurological disease. It's a kind of dystonia called MAGE, and it's just, it's a central neurological disease, I guess, making her neck.
We're already 3 steps away from a real person.
Amen.
And this is why I don't do secondhand consultations.
Okay. She's going to take the nourishing herbal infusions, and that's
wonderful.
That's a good,
but we don't take them; we drink them.
Yes, she's going to drink them, consume them. I'm taking
corn for dinner tonight. No, I'm eating.
Yeah.
So we drink the nourishing herbal infusions. They're nourishment. They're part of our food. I'm so glad that she is willing to do that. And that is always, for me, step one. I start drinking nourishing herbal infusions. Have as your goal something between 4 and 7 quarts a week.
What I usually tell
people is replace everything else you drink with infusion. And they look at me as though they couldn't understand the word everything, and they say, do you mean instead of coffee? And I say, yes, I mean instead of coffee. They say, do you mean instead of herbal tea? And I say, yes, I mean instead of herbal tea. They say, well, you don't mean instead of water. I say, I do mean instead of water. Any other thing you drink, replace it with infusion. I understand that not everybody will be able to do that completely, but the more you can do that, the faster you'll see benefits from them, and the greater the overall benefit will be, because you're both giving massively and taking away what would interfere. So we don't have to know any specifics about anything to say that someone will benefit from working with the nourishing herbal infusions. And then hopefully we'll be at her house, and then 2 of you can call me, and I can talk to her, and we can wiggle ourselves a little deeper into her and her wholeness.
Into her.
And where
sure.
we can nourish that wholeness. And as
I
for
agree.
Toothpaste,
and,
yeah. yeah, and as for toothpaste or tooth powder, what you doing with that stuff anyhow?
Brushing my teeth? What am I doing? You
yeah,
mean like,
well,
what is
so
it
brush
supposed
your teeth.
To do?
So brush your teeth.
So just don't use anything. Okay. Mm-hmm.
If I feel like I need something, I use yarrow tincture.
Oh, I love that. I've been using that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or bloodroot tincture, or echinacea tincture, or calendula tincture.
Good, good. Okay, well, I'm on the right track then. I agree.
Basically, you don't need something between your toothbrush and your teeth. And once again,
like
it's kind of an American thing, right? We know that what's happening is there's a mechanical action of the bristles brushing away the stuff that builds up on your teeth. And it doesn't happen swish, swish. You actually have to brush your teeth for 2 minutes. But Americans want to think that a swish, swish and a promise is enough, and so they'll spend a lot of money to buy a fancy toothpaste to make them think that's true.
Well, and we kind of like that nice minty flavor, too, or scent, or fragrance.
Well, I don't use any essential oils, and it's certainly one of the reasons that I suggest that most people avoid toothpaste, because they all contain essential oils.
That's right. That's where they get that minty scent. Fragrance, taste. But
you could make,
I love y'all.
You can make some mint tea and dip your toothbrush in it.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good 2 minutes. Good, good. Because I'd love that. I like to smell fresh and all that, so good. Or get the toothbrush and rub it over the mint leaves, even, I suppose.
Even, yeah. I think the yarrow leaves your breath smelling very pleasant.
Yeah.
And, of course, most dentists say that bad breath arises from the tongue, not the teeth. Unless you have some, you know, outright, if you've got like a tooth that's rotting in your mouth, it's going to make your breath smell bad, no question about that. But if your teeth are in, you know, generally, you know, healthy state, and you have bad breath, it's probably coming from your tongue. And there are tongue scrapers.
Yep. Yes, they have those.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Save some money on toothpaste. I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Spend it on nursing.
I'll be listening.
You're welcome. Good night. Green blessing.
Good night.
All right, we have another caller waiting in the 917 area code.
Hello.
Hello there. Hi.
Hi.
I'm getting a hysterectomy on the 30th of July, and I just want to know how best to prepare my mind and body for that serious surgery.
Am I allowed to question your decision?
Yes.
Have you called HERS?
I have not.
Hysterectomy Education Resource Services. They
say
that more than 90% of the women who call who are planning a hysterectomy do not need it.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so let's start there. Item number two. When you say hysterectomy, what is going to be removed?
Everything.
That is not a hysterectomy. That is castration. That is outright castration. That is violence against women. A hysterectomy may be needed. It may be called for. But there are very few reasons for removing your ovaries.
Okay. Well, she gave me that option, and I didn't really know what to say, and I've been thinking about it. And because I have history and because I'm nearly 50 years old and I have very large fibroid cysts on my uterus, I said, you know what, just take it all. But I will definitely look into HERS, and I will consider your words. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions?
No, I'm not drinking herbal infusions. I drink a lot of water.
Water tends to dilute our electrolyte balance. and to impair the immune system.
Okay.
I have found quite a few women who are really injuring themselves and their health by drinking water.
Okay.
So you can find out about the Nourishing Herbal Infusions from YouTube. They're free YouTube, showing me making them and talking about them. I also talk about them in some detail in my books, especially my green book, Healing Wise. But just in short, we would use non-aromatic herbs such as stinging nettle, weigh out with a scale 1 ounce of dried stinging nettle, put it into a quart jar, fill the jar to the top with boiling water, put a tight lid on it, and allow that to steep for at least 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
Overnight is fine. I usually do mine last thing at night before I go to bed. And then when I get up in the morning, I strain it. And I squeeze the plant material to be sure that I'm getting all the good from it. The plant material then goes in my compost pile or just thrown back out on the earth where it very quickly decomposes. And the liquid is what I drink.
Okay,
so
tea.
Suppose that someone told you they were going to have their nose removed because they had a pimple.
Yeah. Okay,
fibroids,
thank you.
Fibroids are more common than pimples.
This one's really large and it grew quickly. That's why both doctors
that
said I
is,
thought
that means nothing. That truly means nothing. Are you flooding every month? Are you extremely anemic? Are you passing out from blood loss?
No, not at all.
These would be criteria for which a hysterectomy could be considered. But if those things are not happening, then I will tell you that I don't consider the removal of any of your organs a worthwhile procedure. And I will tell you that last month, a woman who was very frightened by her gynecologist and had been told that she should have her uterus and her ovaries removed. And after several conversations between her and I, she said to her gynecologist, she said, "What I want is a myomectomy. I simply want you to remove the fibroid." And her gynecologist said, "Well, all right." And that's what they did. It was a very simple procedure, and she feels really wonderful.
Okay.
Did your doctor tell you that was even a possibility?
No, she said she didn't biopsy cysts because I asked if she could just biopsy. She said I could biopsy, but partial could be cancer and partial not. So we just recommend taking everything out.
It is 1 out of 10 million fibroids that is cancerous.
Goodness. What about this one that's so large?
It's large because it's filled with blood. That's how it got big so fast. Cancer doesn't grow that fast.
Okay.
Your only real problem here is bleeding. Cancer is simply not on the table at all.
Even though I lost my mother to breast cancer.
Even though you lost your mother to breast cancer, how old was she?
She was diagnosed at 50. She died at 52.
Mm-hmm. And was she still bleeding at that point?
She was definitely bleeding at 50 when she was diagnosed, but then once she started treatment and everything, it stopped. But my doctor,
Hereditary breast cancer usually strikes in the 30s or younger.
Right. I just really trust the doctor that I have selected, and she seems very honest. So at this point, I mean, hearing your words.
She is very honest, and she is very trustworthy, but she has only been trained to remove women's body parts. She hasn't been trained in integrative medicine. She hasn't been trained in preserving your health. She's been trained in trying to prevent cancer by taking parts of you away. Doesn't work that way.
Well, of course, my next question was going to be, since I'm having this done, how do I look out for my bone density once it's done, since my estrogen will be eliminated, but I'm sure you have an opinion about that.
keep your ovaries, first of all. Keep your ovaries. Secondly, the ovaries are not the only thing that produces estrogen. Your adrenals produce estrogen and your fat glands produce estrogen.
Okay.
So the fact that your ovaries are being removed is castration, and not simply because of ovarian estrogen, but because of a whole host of other hormones. And the real thing that you have to worry about is that women whose ovaries are removed are at enormous risk of heart attack.
Really?
Oh, yes. It is one of the worst side effects of removal of the ovaries. And, if we're going to do that, we need to just be absolutely clear that it is something that is truly needed to preserve a woman's life. There are a lot of really easy things you can do to prevent ovarian cancer. One of my favorite is to take ginkgo. Women
ginkgo.
Who take ginkgo biloba tincture or capsules once or twice a day for 6 months or longer are 60% less likely to have ovarian cancer than women who never took it. And this is true of women with hereditary cancers as well. There's a substance in ginkgo called ginkgolides, which kill cancer cells in the ovaries.
Okay.
So, again, I absolutely believe that this doctor is a loving, kind, generous, caring person, but she hasn't had the kind of training that would allow her to understand other ways of working. In my book, down there, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way, on page 285, I say, remember that removal of both ovaries causes instantaneous and intense menopause. Many women say that their sex life for the rest of their life is adversely affected. Hormone replacement therapies can counter the severe and rapid bone loss that follows hard on the removal of the ovaries, but they never can replicate the natural, nuanced, intricate, and responsive flow of hormones that the ovaries provide to the whole body, including the heart. Nourishing herbal infusions can. If your ovaries must be removed, use nourishing herbal infusions to counter bone loss, ease symptoms, and restore sexual function as well. Natural ovarian hormones, this is a quote from a medical journal, give women a subtle sense of well-being that can never be replaced with pills.
Excellent. Okay, I think you've helped me make a decision. I'm going to keep my ovaries.
Keep those ovaries. Talk to hers, and if you're not bleeding heavily, and down there, Sexual and Reproductive Health, I'm not reading it from that part to you, but there's an entire chapter on fibroids.
Okay.
So there are things you can do to help yourself.
Thank you.
I'm so glad
much.
You take.
Is
I'm so glad you've taken
name?
This. I'm sorry.
Is that your real name?
Susan Weed?
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. My parents had three children. Stephen Lewis, Carol Ellen, and Susan Diane. My brother is now known as Sadanandananda Das. My sister is now known as Devkiran Kaur Khalsa. My last name could have very easily been changed by marriage, and nobody would have thought anything of it. So my parents always considered me, with Susan Weed, the normal child.
Well, you're amazing. I love that. I heard you on NPR, and I love that you said that clitoris never ages. Never ages. So that
never ages. Only anti-senescent tissue in the human body.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ms. Weed. I'll see you in Woodstock.
See you in Woodstock. Good night. Green blessing.
Good night. Sweet blessing.
Okay, we have a couple more callers waiting.
All righty.
In the 510 area code.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm lovely, and yourself?
Really enjoying the warm July weather.
Indeed, it's about 100 degrees where I am right now. So I have two questions. The first one is about St. Joan's wort. I was harvesting what I thought was Hypericum perforatum flowers, and I figured out that it was Hypericum calcineum. And is there any medicinal value to that strain of Hypericum?
Only the perforatum species is considered to be medicinal. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Were you making oil or a tincture?
I was doing both.
And how long ago did you make your tincture?
I made it about a week ago.
What color is it?
It has not really changed very much. I mean, it was poured in vodka.
Well, the answer is the obvious, isn't it? The answer is very obvious. When you put your tincturing medium over the fresh Hypericum perforatum, it turns red within 10 minutes.
Is that the same for the oil?
No, it takes the oil longer.
Okay.
That's why I asked my tincture.
Mm-hmm.
The color is lower to show in the oil. Let's see, here's some oil that we made. Where is that oil? Oh, here it is right here. Oh, that's getting really nice and red. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the tincture. Well, I know we made some oil. The tincture is very, very red. It looks really good. I don't know. We had some, thought we made a little bit of oil. Oh, there it is. Do-do-do-do-do. Not red yet. No, we made it the 21st of June on summer solstice. And it still looks like Hypericum flowers and olive oil at this point. But it will gradually become redder.
Okay. Great. So I'll just have to find some.
But the tincture, really, you know, I always make the tincture first. I said, here's the herbal magic trick, and I pour the vodka over it, and then kind of set it down and make the oil do something else, and then I pick up the jar and go, oh, look what's happened. So you could probably still use the vodka. It's not like you have to throw the vodka away, but the plant material you've picked is the wrong one.
Right. And the oil I could reuse as well.
Yes.
Okay, great. My second question is about ingrown hairs. I am of African descent. I have really curly hair, and I just get really horrible ingrown hairs around my bikini line, even, you know, if I'm not really shaving down to nothing. Just trimming, even, I get crazy ingrown hairs. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. Well, I know why, because my hair is curly, but Is there any sort of plant medicine that you've known of that can be helpful in extracting the hairs when they're trapped under my skin?
So you were telling me, let me clarify for myself, that if you do nothing to the hairs at the crease between your leg and your groin, if you do nothing to them at all, you don't shave them, you don't wax them, you just let them be natural, that they grow into your skin.
Well, here's what can happen. I wear underwear sometimes, and I feel like sometimes it can pull the hairs out in that area, even if I'm not shaving it. So in that case, yes, they still can get caught under there if they come out without me shaving or trimming. But are you saying that that's the best solution is to just leave them alone?
In general, that's what we find, is that those kinds of ingrown hairs are caused by removing the hairs. In other words, if they grow in their natural cycle, the hair that's already there guides the new hair out.
Mm-hmm.
So that it has a way to go. It's like when you're driving at night on a curvy road and you get behind another car and suddenly it seems a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's headlights in front of you, and you just feel safer because you think, okay, well, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen to them first. And you're kind of following along, right? Like they always say that the geese, when they're flying in a V, that they keep circulating around because the ones at the back hardly have to flap at all because they're in the slipstream.
Uh-huh.
So that certainly is the very best thing to do. Other than that, I would say that something that you would find pleasantly oily to keep that skin open and free, and you might want to use an herbal oil. And there are herbs called discutients, which means that they are softeners. I'm thinking about cuticle, which is like kind of hard skin. So discutient, they decuticalize, they soften skin. Where skin is hard, discutient herbs make it soft. I talked about red clover last week as a discutient, especially red clover oil, that you simply pick the red clover blossoms, which are in great abundance right now, and fill a jar with them and pour olive oil over it and let it sit for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And that can then be used on a regular basis, if that pleases you, to keep that skin soft and supple. And I think it's easier to prevent the hairs, but I think the red clover would probably also help any that are already ingrown come out.
Okay. Would you find chickweed oil would be similar in helping with that situation?
Chickweed oil would be wonderful. Absolutely. Okay. Chickweed would be a delight for this.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Green blessings.
Enjoy your evening. Green blessings to you. Good night.
Good night.
All right, next caller in the 404 area code.
Hello and good evening. How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Marvelous. What's up with you?
Good. I'm wondering, actually, I also have a question about St. Joan's wort. I couldn't find any to wildcraft in my area, so I'd heard about ordering it fresh from, I think it's Pacific Botanicals, and they ship it to you, I think, the next day. Is that, if I made a tincture and an oil from the plant that was quickly shipped, but it would be the next day, would that still be effective? Because I've heard you talk about putting the plant material right in there and just getting that, you know, medium in there as soon as possible.
I'm going to ask you some questions that may not seem to relate, but you'll see how they do relate.
Okay.
Okay. Would you prefer to have a bouquet of flowers grown by people in a big greenhouse in South America where those flowers are overnight aired to you? Or would you rather have a bouquet of wildflowers that had been picked nearby?
Probably wildflowers nearby.
Why?
Since they would be closer.
Ecological concern?
Sounds like it would be less work, less energy for all involved, perhaps.
Yes. In other words, there are some ecological concerns here.
Yes.
That flying plants around on airplanes might not be the very best use of jet fuel.
Yes.
Look at
so
what you're
in my eagerness to
look
get
at what you're proposing.
St. Joan's wort.
Come on. You know, we have the local food movement. We're being ecologically aware. No overnight shipping of herbs. This is not what we want to do. What we want to do is we want to find the plants that are around us and use those and prepare those. And if there's a plant that doesn't grow around you that you really, really want, find somebody to trade with.
Oh,
certainly
I hadn't thought of trading.
Certainly in this day and age of the Internet where everybody is connected to everyone else, surely you could find someone who has made Hypericum tincture who would be happy to trade for Chaparral tincture or Oak Bark tincture, whatever the bounty of your area is.
Okay.
And then we don't have
idea.
To overnight ship it, which involves a jet plane. We can wrap it up nicely and, you know, put it in the regular mail, maybe save the U.S. postal system.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that makes sense. All right. Thank you. And
you are
welcome. My second question, very quickly. My daughter cut her finger this past weekend. It's a very short cut, but it seems deep. It's not, the skin is not fusing together And I'm wondering if I can fuse it with honey or if I need to just take her in to get a stitch or two. The cut's about
where
a quarter
on her,
inch.
Where on her finger is this cut?
It's the first joint.
On the
under
joint
her
itself.
Fingernail. Right across there, kind of at the top. The top part.
The cut...
On the side.
Is on the side of her finger.
Yes.
Near the joint, on the joint? Between
it
her fingernail
goes,
and the joint?
Yes. So it's kind of at the top of the joint and goes up towards the fingernail, but doesn't reach the fingernail.
So it's a cut that goes longitudinally in the same kind of lengthwise way that the finger does?
Yes.
Is her finger splinted?
Splinted as in something to keep it straight?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Every time she bends it, the cut is coming open.
Okay. I need to splint it. Okay. Yes.
And then you could use anything you want, but do be aware that if you heal a wound from the top down, tetanus can develop, especially if you feel that it's a deep wound. This is the real difficulty with deep wounds, is that tetanus can develop in them if the top heals first. So we always want with a deep wound to heal it slowly from the inside to the outside, keeping it wet.
Okay.
Soaking it, yarrow tincture, fresh plantain split poultices, those are the kinds of things we want to think about. Honey is certainly fine, nothing wrong with honey.
The split poultice would be fine. I was doing plantain, but then I worried about the wound closing over it, the plantain getting into the flesh.
So you're supposing that hundreds of thousands of people are now walking around with wounds in which plantain is healed into their wound? But nobody has mentioned this to you, so you have to be alert for it.
I guess I've never heard of anybody using it. I'm kind of the only person. I have a few friends who do medicinal herbalism, but they don't live near me. So...
Have you heard me warning people about this?
No.
I'm a fairly cautious person. When there's something to be warned, I usually do warn people about it.
Okay.
So, not only that, let's just take this one little step further. Has you or your child ever gotten non-washable paint or non-washable magic marker on your skin?
Yes.
Is it still there?
No.
What happened to it?
It washed off.
I said non-washable.
Oh, non-washable, I'm sorry.
Non-washable, permanent.
It wore off, I suppose, yeah. Permanent wore
off
over time.
Yeah. No, your skin grew.
Okay. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You're not made of cardboard.
Yes.
You're made of real, living,
mm-hmm.
growing cells. Your skin grows. So even
mm-hmm.
if, by some strange magic, the plantain could heal into the wound, which it can't, your
mm-hmm.
would just grow and it would be gone, right?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Do some wounds get scabs?
Yes.
Is that person condemned to have a scab forever?
Luckily not.
Because the skin grows.
Keeps growing. Okay.
Keeps growing. We are wonderful organisms that heal magnificently.
Yes.
From
That's
all the bumps
very...
and bruises and shoves and shouts of ordinary life. So
mm-hmm.
be at ease. You can put a fresh plant material on any kind of wound, no matter how deep or how serious. I had an accident this weekend and tore a toenail off of my toe. There's huge amounts of blood, and I simply grabbed a plantain leaf, chewed it up, and put it where the toenail had been.
Okay.
All right.
And how?
And I'm not worried that I'm going to have plantain instead of a toenail.
Okay.
All right.
It wouldn't be okay for her to go into a lake, right, though, with bacteria?
It's a kind of generalized question. I would need to be at the scene to be able to get a sense of who else is in the lake and, in general, what her health and immune system are like. But I tend to be non-paranoid in such situations.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your wisdom.
You're welcome. Green blessings. Good night.
Green blessings. Good night.
All right, we have a couple more callers waiting, so we'll just keep moving down.
Okay.
In the 603 area code.
Hello, Susan. Rose calling. Good to talk
to
you again
Rose.
Tonight. Thank you. Okay, the other caller brought to mind, she was talking about removing hair, which brought to mind my problem with continually growing facial hairs that just keep on popping out all over. Is that considered normal? Should I just, I mean, now I'm wondering, I've been cutting them off so I don't look horrible to people because they're on my face, and wondering, I wonder what Susan would do.
Well, you know, when I first wrote Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, I really felt terror as I was doing that book because I was sure that I was going to get to menopause and lose my mind and that I had to write down everything I needed to know for myself. And so I worked really hard to get it out and get it in print before I lost my mind. Yeah. And there were some things that I wanted to talk about but didn't get a chance to talk about. And I might have left the book alone because I actually do have a kind of a commitment that I made to myself to just leave my books alone, just publish them and then walk away from them and don't worry about any typos or anything that's, I mean, Childbearing Year, which has been published like 40 times, has like some typo where it says take 1,000 grams of calcium. I just say, yep, well, people will figure it out. But there's this great study showing that hormones actually increase your risk of heart attack and cancers. And I just couldn't resist going, nah, 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 nah. I was right and you were wrong. So I published new Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, and I got to add all these chapters that I had wanted to add to the first book. I always say it's the postmenopausal version. It's one-third bigger than it was before. And so there's a whole chapter now called Hairy Problems.
Okay.
Because, yes, indeed, welcome to post-menopause and hair growing in places that you never thought it could grow. And worse yet, while you can feel it, you can't see it because your eyesight is going and those hairs are white.
So true.
Isn't it though?
When they're underneath and you try to get it and you keep missing it with a little pair of scissors.
Let's see if we can find that. Where is this here? Is it back here? Probably, Susan. You probably put it back in the post-menopause stuff. Where is Hairy Problems? It's like one of those things you think, why don't they just put it on the cover so you can find it? Hair, 104 to 109. Oh,
now
right. I always do the index for my book so I can find what I'm looking for in here.
Well, you right. Look, make a comment.
Okay, Hairy Problems. Dearest granddaughter, come close and look into my eyes. Grandmother Growth beckons, and her voice grows deeper and more resonant. Look deep into my eyes and acknowledge the beauty there. Yes, my skin is wrinkled. My face is the face of age, and to many that is fearful. But my beauty, like my wise blood, now resides inside of me. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you look beyond the hair on my chin? She says, grinning and flicking her fingers under her chin in a most unladylike manner. Can you forgive the places where my scalp shines through? Can you find the truth of my beauty, the beauty of age, which is so different from the beauty of youth? Her eyes grow fierce but sparkle with amusement. I know you can, for I know how beautiful I am. Grandmother Growth takes your chin in her strong hand and looks at you with eyes so intense you fear you may catch on fire. She commands, when you look into your mirror, I ask you to look deep into your own eyes and to acknowledge your own inner beauty. I know, metamorphosis is changing you and you don't like it. Like a teenager, you peer and peer into the looking glass, noting every new wrinkle, every hair on your face and other new places, counting each gray hair as it grows, worrying that your hair is falling out by the handful. Dear one, my most precious child, take care, but do not fret. And do not tell yourself you are becoming ugly. I know it is difficult. In fact, it may be one of the most difficult tasks of menopause, but you must recast your own opinion of beauty so that it includes old women who have hairy problems and live well with them, like you.
That's precious. What page is that on?
104.
And that's in the postmenopausal book.
That's in New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman
New,
Way.
New Menopausal Years. I have to get that
New
one.
Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way. Alternative Approaches for Women 30 to 90.
Okay. Okay. So, are you saying...
So, those hairs that you can't see but that you can feel, other people can't see them either.
Oh, no, I can see them. I can see them and I don't like them. Is it okay to cut them off?
It's totally fine. But I want you to acknowledge that you're doing it for you and not really because, I mean, what you said before was so I wouldn't offend others.
Oh no.
And
well,
others are not offended. I know quite a few bearded women.
Oh, dear. Really?
You know, and they're not even postmenopausal.
Okay.
And they're perfectly normal, healthy women.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't care to be a bearded woman, so I guess I'll just...
I totally understand that.
It's nothing else you can...
What I'm saying is don't fear that you are abnormal. You're quite normal.
Okay. Now,
and if you want to cut them off or shave them off or yank them out or wax them off or use any other tool, you can certainly do that.
So using any of what you were talking about, using the oils, the olive oil, the different tinctures to soften the skin, are those useful on the face or no?
They're not unuseful, but they won't stop hair from growing on your chin.
No.
Or under your lower lip or on your upper lip or in your ears or...
Okay. Okay. So I take it you let yours be if you have them on your face.
Yes.
Cool.
But that's because I was favored as a child of having a mole on the lower part of my face, which has three beautiful long hairs growing out of it, and which most of my lovers have been quite fascinated with, some to the point of actually waiting for and collecting the hairs as they fall out.
They fall out of the mole?
Well, of course. Just like
they
all
do?
Hairs, they go through a growth cycle and then a quiet cycle, like all hair follicles.
Oh, okay.
All right, and you can
that?
See the new one kind of starting to grow as the old one's just about to fall out. And so, you know, my lovers just conditioned me to think of hair on my face as being desirable and sexy.
Huh. So are you saying that if I were to leave them alone, they would eventually fall out and a new one would just replace it?
Yes.
Oh. Interesting. Okay. May I change the subject about tinctures? Not about tinctures, about your nourishing herbal infusions?
Yes.
Thank you. Is it okay? Something just came to my mind.
when you mentioned it's a good idea to take, what did you say, to take in a quart, no, what did you say, I don't even remember now. How much did you say? I'm sorry.
My goal is to drink a quart of nourishing herbal infusion a day.
Yeah, one quart a day.
A day.
Now, what if I want to drink more?
That's not a problem.
Now, is that helpful, or it would be more helpful to drink a different one on the same day, like consume one in the morning? Like I usually take like a cup at a time, but I go through that quart so quickly. I'm just wondering if I should continue that one the same day, or maybe, you know, is there a saturation point, and then do a different one in the afternoon and evening?
Could you tell me what state you live in?
New Hampshire. Southern New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. New Hampshire is generally pretty humid. In humid climates. Yes, in humid climates, it is rare that physiologically you need more than a quart of fluid a day.
Oh, my.
So I'm kind of wondering about this, what appears to me to be excessive drinking.
Oh, wow. Yes, I feel very, very thirsty. I spend a lot of time... the heat really bothers me, and I'm working in the yard and pulling weeds and still planting, transplanting things and whatnot. And the heat
in
really
the early
does...
morning or the late afternoon when it's not so sunny?
Well, in the early morning, of course, it's not so bad, but as the sun gets higher in the sky, even at 11 o'clock, I start to get really overheated, and I have to, come in.
It's not such a good idea to be in the bright sun between 11 and 2. Those are the skin cancer hours.
Right.
So what I'm
encouraging
you to do is to not put yourself under so much stress. Because when you sweat, what you're sweating out is the minerals from your body. So you're losing bone mass whenever you sweat.
Well, that could be part of my problem.
Excessive thirst, of course, is also a classic symptom of adult onset diabetes as well as regular diabetes.
Right. I am aware of that. I didn't realize my thirst was excessive. Only a quart a day you drink in the summer of fluid?
That's about what I drink, yes. That's what your body needs. We live in humid areas. Today is like swimming, isn't it? I mean, the water has been condensing on my body all day. I'm not sweating. It's condensing out of the atmosphere on me.
Yes.
So I don't need to drink large amounts of fluid.
And I feel very thirsty. I was just drinking squeezing out my first nourishing infusion today because I was too exhausted, wiped out by yesterday's heat to make it before bed.
I hear you, and that's wonderful. And so the short answer is you can drink any amount of nourishing herbal infusion you want, just like you can eat any amount of rice that you want or any amount of kale that you want. And at what point would you no longer get the benefit of eating kale?
You can overdo anything. Even kale.
Yes, you could overdo it in one time. Women have died from drinking water.
Yes.
But that's not because your body no longer gets something from it. It's because you've caused organ collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that what you're asking is that if you drink to within reason to your thirst, would you harm yourself by drinking infusions? No. Or is there a point at which they wouldn't work? Absurd.
Yes. Is it absurd?
Absurd. So I'm saying to you, is there a point at which kale will no longer work?
Would
no longer work? I guess not.
Is there a point at which you no longer get nutrition from tomatoes because you've eaten too many of them?
No, I guess not.
Of course not. What I prefer to do, there are two apprentices, myself and my consort here. And so that's 4 quarts of infusion that we make. We made 6 quarts of infusion last night because it is hotter and because there's also a workman here redoing my ceiling, which was falling apart. And at this point, it is the only thing I have had to drink today. I know it's the only thing that my sweetheart has had to drink today. I know the apprentices are asked not to drink anything else. And we have at least 2 quarts of infusion left. As a matter of fact, it looks more like 2.5 quarts of infusion at this point. So I would say that we are probably not drinking much more than a quart of infusion a day each. Today, in this heat.
Wow. Well, I think I'd be eating a lot more often if I don't drink because, and I think I eat pretty often. Actually, I used to be quite ravenous my entire life, and I think that was because of all my gastrointestinal problems, but that seems to be getting better since I've started doing the nourishing herbal infusions as well as probiotics and the fermented vegetables little by little and the bone broths and all that. I'm finally turned myself around after a lifetime of trying to help myself.
Congratulations. I am so proud of you. That's wonderful.
Thank you. It's been a real struggle. Like, it is amazing to me. I finally can say I've gotten rid of the belly bloat. But I was always ravenous, and so I still think, I don't know, I eat a lot more fat now, you know, the healthy fats, but my body seems to need it. But I never had a trouble with weight. I'm still only like 112, and I'm 5'5" and a half. I've always been slender, been a dancer, always been extremely active. But the digestive problem and the yeast problems and the bloating has, you know, just been there for years. But now, like during the summer when I am so bothered by the heat, I feel that I'm eating, like I have to eat like every couple hours still to get something in me and to try to put off eating. I drink a little bit, you know, I mean, I drink some, so I usually try to...
I was kind of going to bring that up. So tell me about what proportion of the food in your diet is raw.
Well, I'm definitely eating, I started eating more raw the last week, I have noticed, because the cherries are in season, the local cherries are in season now. And I've been eating more cherries. What else have I been eating raw? I've been eating more of the wild greens in more salads because I actually started to improve when I stopped eating so much raw when I was I switched to only cooked because at one point in my life I was completely raw. And that seemed to help for a while doing the juices and such. It seemed to cure my fibro, but then I couldn't stick with it. Then I started going the other way and it started bothering me.
No nutrition available. There is no nutrition available from raw food.
That's what I've been hearing you say, and it's been blowing my mind because that's what I was doing, you know, because I was kind of brainwashed the other way. And I was, these whole last few months, I've been eating mostly all cooked foods. I eat soup every single day, so I get some liquid in my soups. I do soups with fresh asparagus because that's been in season, you know, all spring and will be for another week or so. So I do I do soups every day, and I make sure I get my fats, my healthy fats and my healthy meats a little bit with each meal and the broth. you know, pretty much following nourishing traditions and that approach.
Wonderful.
And started
take your beautiful cherries and throw them in the freezer for 24 hours.
Freeze my cherries?
Yes. And then eat them. Then you will get some nutrition from them. And isn't a frozen cherry on a hot summer day preferable?
Well, you know, I just happened to do that because I bought some too many to eat at once, and I did that with grapes already.
Uh-huh.
Those were native because they were refreshing. I've done that with grapes when I was out working out in the yard. And I just
there was a researcher looking into a vitamin A component in watermelon, and it's really powerful antioxidant. It's also found in tomatoes called lutein, and he couldn't, no matter how much watermelon he gave people, he couldn't get it on his test. Like when he would test their blood, he couldn't find this compound in their blood. It was really driving him nuts. And he had this dream where he was eating watermelon on a glacier. And so when he woke up, he said, all right. So he froze the watermelon. And once he gave them frozen watermelon, this compound then became available and he could find it in their blood.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? You would enjoy hearing this then, because this makes sense to me now. Since the past week when I've been eating more raw fruit, because I was hardly, the only raw fruit I was eating for months was only a very tiny bit of lemon juice and lime juice, and maybe just a few blueberries at a time. And now when I started eating more raw fruit, I thought because I'm generally more on the constipated side, I thought my bowels would be looser. I'm more constipated now that I started eating more fruit. It's boggling my mind. I thought that would be more roughage, and I would be, so I don't know. What do you think about that one?
Well, in Oriental medical theory, the idea is that the large intestine removes the chi or the energy from the food. And the small intestine removes the blood or stuff from the food, what we call the nutrients, right? Vitamins,
yes.
Minerals, hydrates, all of that stuff. So small intestine gets the stuff, the blood it's called, and large intestine gets the energy, the chi it's called. And they say that when there is little energy in the food, then it stays in the large intestine for a longer time as the large intestine struggles to get the chi that's needed.
Oh. And I've been eating organic fruits. Now, the watermelon was supposedly organic, so now I'm really confused.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that we do have 4 more callers.
Okay.
In queue,
okay.
And with about 21 minutes left, so.
Thank you. Organic doesn't necessarily mean that there's a lot of energy in it.
Okay. So are you saying if any fruit that I should try, if I'm not going to cook it, then I should freeze it or dehydrate it? Change it?
Yes. Yes.
In some way, before consuming it. Okay,
yes.
I got it. Well, thank you so much for that tip.
You
I will try
are
and let you know how it goes.
Welcome, yes. So the fruit that I would be sure to get organic would be apples, grapes, nectarines, peaches, and strawberries.
Yes.
These are the Environmental Working Group says that the levels of agricultural chemicals on these are, higher than what we would want to consume, but that there is no problem at all with watermelon, pineapple, papaya, mango, kiwi, grapefruit, cantaloupe, avocado, or asparagus, whether they're organic or not. There are not discernible levels of herbicides or pesticides on this.
Oh, my gosh. I know I have to get off because you have more callers. Just reminded me I have a cantaloupe in the refrigerator. Now,
okay.
I could freeze that first, right? I should freeze it first. Don't
Sounds
eat
good.
It off.
First.
Okay.
Sounds
Thank
good.
You so much, Ethan. Thank you.
Green blessings.
Nice.
All right. Let's move into our next caller. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yes, in the 706 area code.
Hello? Hello?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm going for a walk down a country road, and these dogs have just started barking, some random dogs. I didn't know if maybe they were, you could hear them, and it was distracting you. My question, my son, he is 12 and a half, and he is, you know, he's going through puberty. I have two questions, actually. And right now, I use a lot of bentonite clay on his skin and a witch hazel. You know, I don't use any of the drugstore, you know, quote, remedies, you know, all that jazz. You know, we just stick to basic things. You know, he eats, you know, eggs from the house, you know, local organic chickens, you know, as far as, you know, if we have chicken for dinner. But, of course, you know, his hormones are going wild, so I know it doesn't really matter what I feed him. You know, he's going to get acne. I'm wondering, you know, he had about, I guess it was about a month ago, you know, when the heat really got serious here in Georgia. And, of course, and you know, he got a big old splurge of on his forehead. You know, cut his hair cut, because that seems to, he has blonde, curly hair. And cut his hair, but it still didn't help. But now that it's been about a month, all that acne bumps, you know, have now come and gone. But they've left these little scars, and I know that they will fade in time because we didn't smash them, we didn't put chemicals on them, you know. And he's had scars from a couple months ago. But I'm wondering what kind of herbal oils can I put, or maybe herbs mixed with witch hazel. You know, instead of, like, making, like, a tincture with vodka, can I put something in some witch hazel that I can put on his skin to kind of minimize those scars from even happening in the first place?
Well, it sounds like they have happened. So I think that we're beyond first place. And, yes, you can certainly put herbs in witch hazel. People have done that, and they like it. It can be very nice for skin applications. The classic herbal application to remove scar tissue, even keloid scars, is calendula oil. And it's pretty easy to find fresh calendula and to make oil from, or to buy the already prepared calendula oil as a single oil. It's a frequently grown flower in gardens.
I was going to say, isn't that marigold by another name?
Calendula is also known as pot marigold. The plant that's usually known as marigold in America is French marigold, or Tagetes. And so it is a different genus, although it is in the same plant family. It is, however, a very large plant family. It includes plants such as chamomile, echinacea, burdock, goldenrod. So the fact that marigold and calendula are both in the same plant family doesn't really tell us a whole bunch. But I would say work with some calendula oil. I think he'll like it, and I think your son will like it.
Okay, so something after a shower, after we've washed, after we've toned, we put that on his skin as a moisturizer. And you have
wonderful.
To understand, I have to hold him down like a cat in water to do this. He does not care. You know, he's a 12-year-old boy. He's like, oh, stop, stop, stop. I don't like it. I don't care about them, you know. And I don't know, but I just want to make sure I'm doing it properly because I care about his skin, and I know he does. And I just realized, you know, he's just a teenager. He's just going through that phase, you know. And so I do it as a moisturizer after the toning. And I could even add calendula to witch hazel, you're saying. And we could do
That's
an
what I'm
infused.
Saying.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, then.
Okay.
All right. My second question
is I had called
I think for tonight, since there are four callers in the queue, that I'm just going to limit each one of you to one question. Of course, you can call back as many times as you want. So I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Will that work for you?
That'll be fine. Thank you. You have a good
day.
You're
welcome. Bye-bye. Good luck.
All right, in the 845 area code?
845, that must be me.
Or it could be me, I don't know.
Of course it's you. Me is Susan. Hi, how are you?
Hi, this is Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
I'm calling because, well, what's up with me is that I have a partially ruptured ovarian cyst in my left ovary. And it's about 4 centimeters by 3 centimeters by 4 centimeters, so it's almost the whole ovary. And, you know, I've been doing some castor oil packs, and I've been using some tincture of Vitex and some dandelion and milk thistle and artichoke. But I wanted your opinion on what might be helpful to support me moving through this process and shrinking this cyst.
The herb that I most rely on to shrink ovarian cysts is chickweed.
Chickweed,
I really like as a tincture.
Okay.
And
what kind of dose do you
I'm
like
not at all clear about what these other herbs you're taking are doing.
Well, the Vitex is for ovarian tone and regulation. That was my reasoning. And the liver herbs were just to help
with
clearing that.
Excuse me, what does mean, ovarian tone and regulation? What does that have to do with the cyst?
Well, I wanted to find an herb that would help with the energy of the ovaries. And in my experience, the Vitex has an affinity to my ovaries and other women that I've worked with ovaries.
Okay.
So I felt drawn to using it for that reason.
I would personally think that the Vitex would increase the cyst.
And why do you think that? Because of the progesterone-estrogen balancing?
I don't think there's any such thing as progesterone-estrogen balance.
Okay.
And I think that Vitex primarily affects the pineal and pituitary glands, and that it secondarily affects the ovaries through the pineal and pituitary glands, which tend to, the net result is often to increase fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells me that it is increasing the energy and the activity in the ovary. That's why I'm saying to you, what does it mean to tone the ovary to you? And this is something that we want to do. In other words, what I think I'm hearing from you, although you haven't said it, and I could certainly be wrong, is that there must be something wrong with your ovary if there's a cyst there.
I don't know if I'm saying that there's something wrong, but I'm saying that there's a stuck energy, a stagnation that I'm trying to move.
I don't agree.
No. What is your feeling about it?
All that there's stuck or stagnant energy.
Okay. Then what would be the reasoning for such a large cyst?
You said that the cyst is partially ruptured.
Right, so it's moving. It's trying to move.
So that tells me that the energy is moving and that it's moving faster than it can be contained. So that does not speak to me of stagnancy or stuckness.
Okay.
Most of the time when there's a growth in the body, I don't think of it as being stuck or stagnant. I think of it as being even hot.
Okay.
So again,
would you think of it as a
the nature
almost
of my
like a manifestation of creativity?
What do you mean by ovarian tone, and why would you want to tone your ovaries?
Well, like I said, I was thinking of it as being stuck, as needing help moving through so that I could support the continuing absorption, reabsorption of this cyst. So I was thinking that it did need some help in that way.
Is it working? Is the Vitex doing what you wanted?
Well, it's been a few weeks since this happened that I had the intense pain and found out what was going on in the first place. And I will be going for an ultrasound to see.
Uh-huh.
So I do feel it, though. I do feel that it's still there. I'm aware of it. So
what we can say at this point is no, the Vitex hasn't been helping. And then you're also taking milk thistle and I think dandelion, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Because?
Because there's a connection with cysts and estrogen, and I think that the liver helps to bring out estrogen from the body that is in excess. So I thought that I could support my liver in helping to process the detoxification process.
Very heroic kinds of thoughts there. There is no detoxification process. Estrogen is recycled in the body. It's rather like Tinker Toys. And the hormones in the body are part of the Tinker Toy set, and the liver takes them apart. And then other organs put them back together again.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly improving the function of the liver is not a problem for most people. But again, what I believe I am hearing here is there's a problem with my ovary. This cyst indicates a problem. I don't think there's a problem with your ovary. I think there's a cyst. The cyst
so
might
why would
be
a cyst be
especially
there?
If it's painful. But, well, I believe that ovarian cysts are sore losers.
Mm-hmm.
You have probably heard that your ovaries are full of eggs. They aren't.
Yes.
There aren't any eggs at all in your ovaries. They're follicles.
Mm-hmm.
These follicles mature into eggs. And each month, alternating between the right and left ovary, about a dozen follicles mature into eggs and have what I call the Miss Egg contest. And only one of the eggs in most situations wins the Miss Egg contest and gets to bust her way out of the ovary.
Mm-hmm.
And move on down the egg tube for hopefully a happy assignation. And
mm-hmm.
the other eggs are supposed to die of embarrassment and shame.
Right.
But every once in a while you have
a
sore loser. And that sore loser becomes an ovarian cyst.
Mm-hmm.
Most sore losers are kind of weak and ineffective sore losers. And they become soft ovarian cysts. Some sore losers say, I don't even need a sperm to make a baby. I'm just going to make a baby on my own. And that egg begins to divide and to actually make hair, teeth, fingernails, spine, bones. It does its best to make a baby. It can't make, like, heart, lung, any soft things. It doesn't really, you know, make a good baby.
Right.
And that's called a dermoid cyst.
Mm-hmm.
But again, these have nothing to do with stuck energy or problems with hormones. These have to do with the fact that some eggs are sore losers.
And to ease the pain of the sore loser.
The heroic tradition believes that all disease arises from stuck toxins in the body. Furthermore, the heroic tradition targets women. And let's face it, our culture targets women. Women are earthy. Women are dark. Those things are bad. And therefore, anything that is as womanly as an ovary has got to, by definition, be bad, and especially if something happens to it, not only is the ovary bad, but the woman is bad too. And I invite you to step free of that and to say, just as you would if you got a mosquito bite on your arm, there's nothing wrong with my arm, there's merely a mosquito bite on it.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel that way, but it is pressing on my colon and impacting the removal of toxins in that way. So in some ways it
is. And no toxins removed through your colon, excuse me.
Well, how come I feel like I'm so smelly and my skin is breaking out and this never happens? So it's something's a little off, and I'm just trying to put the pieces together.
Oh, I am sorry, but those pieces do not fit together. There aren't any toxins that are removed by the large intestine. That's not the function of the large intestine.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So
and,
the remedy that
and
you
your skin breaking out has nothing
chickpeas.
To do with toxins either. It has to do with bacteria. And it's a surface phenomena. It's not a deep system phenomena. So, again, this heroic idea that you are somehow wrong, that you are somehow toxic, that you somehow have to clean up your act, I am challenging. I believe that if you use chickweed tincture, a dropperful, two or three times a day, and continue with your castor oil packs and continue drinking your nourishing herbal infusions, that within 4 to 6 weeks, this cyst will be gone.
Okay. I will give that a try.
All righty.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Dream blessings. Okay. What do we got? Two more? Rebecca,
two more,
Rebecca?
Yeah.
Okay. We got 2.5 minutes for each one.
All right. In the 212 area code.
Hello, liver in Manhattan or somewhere down there. Good evening. Don't waste your 2.5 minutes. Start talking. Tell me what's up. Okay, Rebecca, the next area code.
Okay, did somebody just say hello?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. In the 203 area code.
Yep, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up with
Thanks,
you?
Susan. Thanks, Susan,
You're
for doing this. I'll be quick. I love it. I have two plantar warts on my left foot, and I was just wondering what I can do to get rid of them. They're starting to grow a little bit, and they're painful when I walk on them.
Do you know what duct tape is?
Yep.
Take a piece of duct tape, put it over the wart, leave it there for at least 3 weeks. The wart should be gone.
What if it won't fall off in the shower or anything?
It's duct tape we're talking about here.
Oh, I've never put it on myself, so.
Oh,
okay.
It's sticky. Okay?
Okay.
Green blessings. Good night.
Thank you. Green blessings.
Now, the person at the 212 area code, are they still on the line?
They are. Do you want to try again?
Let's try them again.
For it. All right. In the 212 area code, are you there? Not hearing them, so.
Not hearing them, me either. We are all so lucky tonight. We get to spend time with Nikki Scully. What can I tell you about Nikki Scully? She is a Wonder Woman. She is a woman making change. She has been teaching, healing, doing shamanic arts and mysteries since 1983. Let's count, 93, 03, that's 30 years. During her first visit to Egypt with the Grateful Dead in 1978, Nikki experienced an epiphany that transformed her life, caused her to deepen her focus on healing, and she began to delve into the hidden shamanic arts of Egypt. She is now a lineage holder in the Hermetic tradition of Thoth, her teacher and mentor. And I have spent time with Nikki and Thoth, and believe me, he is a very present entity in her life. With Thoth, she developed alchemical healing, a comprehensive healing form that is practiced by thousands of practitioners internationally. In the late 1980s, Nikki Scully founded Shamanic Journeys Limited and continues to guide inner journeys and spiritual pilgrimages to Egypt and other sacred sites. As you heard at the very beginning, as Rebecca told you, Nikki Scully lives in Eugene, Oregon, where she maintains a healing and shamanic consulting practice. Now, Nikki Scully is the author of so many things. I don't even know where to start with this or to say, well, this one's my favorite. No, this one's my favorite. No, this one's my favorite. Planetary Healing, a Spirit Guide for Global Transformation, Alchemical Healing, a Guide to Spiritual, Physical, and Transformational Medicine, and Power Animal Meditations, Shamanic Journeys with Your Spirit Allies, and more, more, more. Find all of this, find more about Nikki Scully at www.shamanicjourneys.com. Is Nikki here with us?
No Nikki yet.
Well, she still has 10 seconds. I met Nikki at Herbal Conference many, many years ago. As a matter of fact, she says that we have known each other for 40 years. I would have said decades. 40 years, that's close enough, right? That's definitely decades. And I've always just really enjoyed all of my time with Nikki. I remember at one point she invited me to a Grateful Dead concert. And we were there, and I was not having the best of all possible times at this concert. It was a little loud for me. The energy of the people was a little freaky for me. And I said to her, maybe I should go. And she said, why? I said, well, I'm not really having a super great time. And she said, well, what's the problem? And I told her what the problems were. And she said, all right, well, let's just change that. And right there in the middle of the concert, we did an alchemical healing and changed the whole energy in the entire arena with tens of thousands of people. It was one of the most precious moments that I have spent with Nikki, and we have spent a lot of really fun and delicious times together, but that just really made me say, yeah, we can do it. We don't have to just say, ugh, I can't deal with this. We can deal with it. How about now? Have we gotten a Nikki with us yet?
Yeah, I'm not seeing Nikki's number on here.
Well, do we have any other callers on the line? We could answer a few more questions while we're waiting for Nikki to call in.
I just got a new caller right here. Hold on. In the 714 area code.
Oh, Susan, it's Kathy. I'm not a new caller, but I'd like to ask you a quick question about... When she comes, let me know. It's a quick question about Pericombe, St. John's wort. So you said it should be red. Now, I bought some from Red Moon Herbs, super wonderful women. The oil is not as red. I was asking my husband to tell me the color. It's amber color, like almost the same color as the amber bottle it came in. I'm wondering if that could be something to be concerned with, and maybe I should buy it from another source.
I can only tell you that the Hypericum oil that I make certainly turns red, and that the Hypericum oil that my friend Gretchen Gould, that amazing grease, makes is definitely red.
Okay.
We're not talking pinkish. We mean... actually red.
They told me that they use the green part of the plant, not just the flowers, and that's why it's not as red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you went out to buy ginseng and they sold you ginseng leaf as well as the root.
So in my inexperience,
I'm not sure. I prefer to have the root only. Certainly, as we get further south, there's less Hypericum. And as global warming comes in, Hypericum is coming more north. The best Hypericum I've ever seen was in Nova Scotia.
Ah.
And there was so much of the red oil in the plant itself that as we picked it, our hands became red, right up to our wrists.
This helps me a lot, Susan. I think I want to just start growing my own because I'm not getting the results I really want from the oil, and so maybe that's part of the problem here. So, okay.
All right.
That helps. That helps. I just love you. Thank you. Green blessings.
Green blessings. Thanks, Kathy.
I'm still not seeing Nikki on here, but should we try calling out to her?
I was going
to
say, is it possible to call her?
For some reason, the connection's not going through.
Right, or perhaps she got the time wrong. There is a three-hour difference. Well, she's a woman of the world.
You'd
think that she would figure it out, but, hey, sometimes we don't.
Would you like to try to call out to her? Or
are
do you want
to
keep answering questions? We can call her and...
I would like you to call her if you can. Do you have her number?
I have it right here. It will be all on air, if that's okay.
That's absolutely fine. I understand that's the only way we can do it.
Okay.
All right. Spirit of the pleasant says, come to me in the form of a beautiful... Spirit of the pleasant says, come to me in the beautiful dancing green woman. Eyes fill me with... Hey, Nikki!
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Hey! Well, we're waiting for you to call us for your interview tonight.
No, they never gave me a number. They said you were calling me. My secretary didn't give me a number.
Well, I'm glad we called. I'm glad we didn't wait too long.
Me, too. I was just saying to Mark, because a call came in at exactly 6, and I hit the wrong button. And I said, I blew it, and I don't know why she's not calling back. And I don't know why Brittany didn't get a number in case of an emergency.
Well, we never call out because it's very awkward, given the blog.
But do you need me to call you?
No, it's fine. We have got the lines. It took us just a little bit to patch the lines together so we could call out.
I'm so sorry.
No problemo, my dear.
Well, it's such a short interview. I mean, we'll barely have time to say.
Exactly. Let's just jump right in. How are you? Gosh, it seems like it's been a few years since we've actually talked. And yet, at the same time, it seems like just yesterday.
It's always been like that. For 40 years now, I think.
I think so.
Isn't that outrageous?
Isn't it, though? So, fill me in. Tell me what you've been doing.
Oh, what am I doing? I'm writing 2 books. I'm still going to Egypt, believe it or not. I have a sold-out trip this fall.
Oh, but you're still doing that.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And I was there this March, and it was great. I'm teaching alchemical healing. I'm teaching the Egyptian mysteries. I'm doing a lot of free planetary healing calls to action, based on my last book, which I wrote with Mark, called Planetary Healing, Spirit Medicine for Global Transformation. And it's a
When I read that title, I thought, wait a second, I don't know if I've seen that book.
Yeah, that's been out a couple of years now. And it's really some of my best and most advanced work, but I think in order to get a good seller out of it, we would have had to have put personal and planetary healing. Because for some reason, people don't get that, you know, you heal the planet by learning these tools through which you heal yourself. But it's full of them, so we're giving them away for free on these calls to action, which was always our plan, because we're trying to get as many people together to use the exponential power of numbers. We do it about once a month. In the summer, it drags a little longer. And we work on whatever's up, and we either use journeys from the book or make up new ones. And it's been really well received, and I feel great about that part of my work, my save-up part. And then I'm doing private sessions and readings. I have, since I talked to you, did I already have the Anubis Oracle deck and the Shamanic Mysteries of Egypt out?
It was just about to come out the last time we talked, I think.
Yeah, so I've got
the thing that you finally have it. Hooray.
Yeah, this beautiful Egyptian deck and a book that goes with it, and then another book. It's all co-written with Linda Starwolf and illustrated by Chris Walder. And so online at theanubisoracle.com, you get free readings. At Becoming an Oracle, you get a free journey to the Sphinx. It's funny how I was such a late bloomer, and yet I'm working on books 7 and 8. So I'm still feeling pretty darn good about what I'm getting out there.
All power to you, wonderful sister. You'll have to listen to the show, the recording of the show, because, of course, while we were waiting for you, I was singing your praises.
Aww.
You didn't get to hear any of that wonderful part where I was palavering along, telling them the absolute truth about what a magnificent woman you are. And where I was respect. She'll call in soon. And meanwhile, let me tell you this other magnificent thing about Nikki Scully. So just know that we have already done all of that, even though you haven't been able to hear it. The planetary healing calls to action are quite interesting. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. There's a group, and I think one could join that group, and the group meets, I'm guessing, perhaps with the aid of the Internet or some other kind of technology, approximately once a month, and does a call to action, depending on what's up and what's agreed on, and does that by working through specific exercises, trances, and so on that are in the book called Planetary Healing.
Spirit Medicine for Global Transformation. And some of them are initiations and rites of passage, and some of them are, and people call in from all around the world, so we create this field that's huge. And then, of course, we invite in all the plant spirits and animal totems and deities of all the pantheons, and we get this gigantic circle of energy, and then we make medicine together for whatever it is that we're working on.
And if a listener would like to join this circle, how can they do that?
You could go to theplanetaryhealingbook.com. Well, actually, the best way is to go to shamanicjourneys.com, which is my main website, and get on my mailing list, and you'll receive an invitation.
Yes, I already told them about that website, shamanicjourneys.com, and I'm glad that that's an easy portal. So you go there and say, yes, I want to be in the mailing list, and then they will receive an invitation to join the Planetary Healing Calls to Action.
Right. Right. I send a newsletter out once or twice a month, usually once it's kind of meaty and once it's kind of a reminder. But I'm not, you know, we're getting old. Did you notice that along the way? I just turned 71.
Yes, indeed, we are getting vibrantly old. We are getting deliciously old. We are getting passionately old. We are getting incredibly mind-bogglingly, outrageously old.
I am. Who'd have thunk it? After the life that I lived, that I would last this long. But I'm, still pumping it out. And
I have an advisor who keeps saying, and what is your retirement age? And I keep saying,
we don't retire.
We don't retire.
Not in
this line of work. We might shrivel up and get dehydrated, but we don't retire.
No, we don't retire.
In what culture do shamans retire?
When they die.
That's when we. That's when we give it up.
They
die.
I guess that's the culture when they join the culture of the dead.
Exactly. Exactly. On to the next. It's a lifetime commitment. It's a bodhisattva commitment.
So what are
commitment
you doing?
Commitment to the well-being of all life on the planet.
Absolutely. But can you kind of catch me up a little? Because I haven't a clue. I mean, the last time I was taught at your place was so long ago that the goats were jumping over us in the field while we were trying to do meditations.
Well, the goats and I are still out and about. You know, when I first moved here, I kind of did the standard thing. I'd been keeping goats with other people, and they had fences, and so I thought that's what I was supposed to do, was put up fences. And then, you know, about a year, year and a half into it, I took a look at my life, and I said, wow, you're spending, like, a lot of time in your life repairing fences. Is this what you want to do with your life? And I said, no! I just pulled up all the fences, and as you experience, and as still goes on to this day, we herd the goats. And indeed, you know, depending on who is here to herd them, if there's an intern, then class can be away from the goats because the intern can take them. And if there's no intern, then the goats have to be with the class. And the baby goats especially do jump in our laps. But on the other hand, I say that the baby goats are my absolute surefire cure for depression. I double dare anybody to be depressed after having a baby goat jump in your lap and nibble your hair.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, and I have a new book out called Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, and it's great because it means that I'm finally old enough to talk about sex.
Why do you think that is?
Maybe I'm not so threatening anymore. I don't really know. But, you know, we
well,
have this
sure
blog talk show,
goofy.
And we're doing this. Right. Well, this interview that you and I are doing is going to be put up at Women's Radio, Pat Lynch's Women's Radio, and I'm always so thankful and grateful that we have a slot there at Women's Radio. It's a weekly half-hour slot for our Women Making Change show, and you'll be on that, as well as you're being here at the blog talk show. We double-dipped on your
live,
interview
right?
there to get it as much publicity for you as we possibly can. And so many women, Nikki, are coming up to me and saying, oh, I love your blog talk show. I just have it, you know, like on my little phone, and then I go to bed and I listen to you. And I said to my daughter, I said, this is one of your best ideas. This has got me in bed with so many women.
Some things never change.
That's right.
Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Speaking of which.
And I'm a very happy grandma. My grandma
of
Monica.
Congratulations,
and
I too.
I've often said she's the secret weapon for the second half of my career.
Right.
Here when people might be saying, oh, yeah, she's kind of old and, you know, we have this charming young thing that they can look at. It's really working.
How old is she?
Roughly. 6 and a half.
I have a 3-year-old. Her name is Blue. They named her after me, after my spirit name.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say, isn't Blue your spirit name?
Yeah, Blue Eagle.
And so they named her after you. Actually, for some reason, I had thought it was Indigo, but close enough, I guess.
Nope. Blue. It's Blue.
It's Blue.
Blue Rose Cole. She's 3, and I get to see her next week. I'm so excited. I can't stand it. I'm building her this fairy place. Like when I was a kid, I had a playhouse. Well, her playhouse is going to be in this grove of tangled woods and bamboo, and it's got a hobbit village and a little Thai spirit house village and fairies everywhere. I'm having
so fabulous. You know, my granddaughter and a friend or two of hers come to Grandma's house on Fridays. It's Fridays at the farm. And I was possessed with the same kind of thing. Now, I was privileged as a child to, although I lived in a city and in the suburbs of the city, the development had stopped at the end of my block, and so I could just walk down the end of my block, jump over a little cliff, and be in the woods, and there was a cliff, a bigger cliff, and a cave. And so I could always go and be in a cave. And I thought, you know, children need to have a cave. They need to have a place where they can go, where it's womb-like. And so I had a area in the house where I was able to clear out and put blankets, and there's a, you know, one of those new lanterns, no flames in there. And they love it. They love going in there.
This is very like that. It's very cave-like.
Yeah.
You have to climb up these rocks to get to it and crawl through this opening in the bamboo. It's really, I'm so stoked. I can hardly stand it. She lives in New York, and I'm in Eugene, so she only gets to come here once a year.
Yes, yes. I was at a cast party. Michael just finished a show and is just starting another one. And I was at a cast party, and one of the women said, oh, it's 8 o'clock. I have to go sing my grandchildren to sleep. And her grandchildren live across the country, and she calls them every night at 8 o'clock and sings them a lullaby.
Oh, sweet.
Isn't
Which
that
reminds
perfect?
Me.
Perfect.
I need to clear up an herbal question with you.
All
a
right,
friend of mine had a double hip replacement. And the last time I was at your house, Michael had just had his heart surgery, and he was like teaching yoga in 6 or 8 weeks. And it was because of this pot of comfrey tea.
Comfrey and leaf infusion.
It was comfrey leaf.
Infusion.
Because I made sure that the minute she got home from the hospital, she just had this ever-going pot of comfrey leaf tea like what I saw at your house. Is that correct? And for how long should that happen?
So just to be clear with everybody who's listening, and you and her, a tea is a small amount of fresh or dried herb brewed for a short time. What we're using here is an infusion. So I weigh out 1 ounce of dried comfrey leaf, put it in a quart jar, fill the jar to the top with boiling water, put a lid on it, and let it sit for minimum of 4 hours. 6, 8 hours is absolutely fine. Then I strain that. Now, comfrey contains mucilaginous compounds that are more soluble in cold water than in hot. That first hot water infusion that we have made, pouring the boiling hot water onto the comfrey, has extracted from the comfrey very important substances, minerals, vitamins, proteins, things we really need for healing. But it hasn't extracted all of the allantoin and all of the mucilaginous substances. So the comfrey leaf that I have left after I've made that infusion, I put into a pot, and then I add 2 cups of cold water, and I bring that to a boil. When it comes to a boil, I turn it off, put a lid on it, and let it sit for 4 hours again. And it can go up to 6 hours. It's not a problem. And then that's strained. It can be drunk separately, or it can be mixed in with the first brew. Either way is absolutely fine. And that way we're getting all of the tremendous healing power of the comfrey, not just to the bones, and comfrey is known as knit bone, but to the tendons and the ligaments. So important when there's been a replacement procedure.
So if I throw comfrey leaves and flowers from my garden in a pot and boil it and drink it, I'm not really getting what I'm looking for my own bones.
Correct. You are not.
Well, darn. I'm going to have to
It has to be
to
dried.
Write it down.
Yeah. And there are YouTubes of me making comfrey infusion. So if any part of what I said is unclear, you can just look up the YouTube and find that. And in many of the YouTubes, my magnificent granddaughter is there as well. Nikki, it's hard to believe, but we're coming to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give them to you. What do you want people to know about? What's exciting you? What is the thing that you
want
to listen to thinking
of? What's exciting me is how fast we're growing as a community of people willing to step up to the plate and do what it takes to turn this train wreck around. And it's, we can do it. I still believe that we can do it. And yet, the forces that are meeting us are like Obama becoming president, and everything shuts down just to make him fail. And so we just have to work that much harder. But when we're in community, it's so much easier. And so these free phone calls really turn me on because I'm initiating people and giving them really potent, powerful tools. The Egyptian mysteries really turn me on. And I'm doing an Egyptian Mysteries retreat with Normandy Ellis this September, who is fabulous, fabulous. And because we're writing this book together that's due in December on the Egyptian Mysteries. And alchemical healing has always been my passion and will always be my passion. and I only do one retreat a year now, and that's happening in August. And I would imagine that that's probably what I taught way back 20 years ago or whenever I taught at your place. I don't remember
it. Yes, it was, and we did some wonderful trances and guided meditations and did some work with Thoth and...
Yes.
The
Thoth is...
The CDs that I have that you made, are those still available?
Yes, everything is still available. What we couldn't turn into CDs are available as downloads online, and I still have... I turned all those tapes from the 80s into CDs, and we still give away the Kuan Yin Journey for Healing to people with AIDS and leukemia and cancer and whatever else. And we still give the And You Can Fly to children with potentially terminal diseases. And those things are my passions, you know, what we can give to help people. And, of course, I have a huge shop online called HathorsMirror.com where you can get all my books and all my friends' books and all yours if you want to distribute to me.
I would be happy to distribute to you. We'll have to get...
Shop. Okay.
Yeah. Hathor's Bookshop, H-A-T-H-O-R-S.
Hathor's Mirror.
Hathor's Mirror, M-I-R-R-O-R. HathorsMirror.com?
Yeah, no apostrophe, just Hathor's Mirror.
Okay, HathorsMirror.com. And there,
yeah.
I mean, you. What I told them was you have so many wonderful things out that if I were to say which one is my favorite, I'd have to say, well, there's this one that's my favorite, but then there's this one that's my favorite. Oh, and then there's this one that's my favorite. And I said, so just know that they're all... fabulous, magnificent, useful, heart-opening, incredible tools for healing yourself and for creating healing in your community and our planet. That's what you're about, as far as I can tell.
Thank you.
And yes, and I have always been...
That's how I think of you as well.
I've always been very moved
by your
considerate abundance. That you have made sure that the work that you are doing is freely available to people. And I so honor that, because to me that has always been one of the hallmarks of the wise woman tradition, is that it's not a tradition that we're going to keep secret and that we're going to charge people huge amounts of money for. Hey, we got to pay, you know, our bills like everybody else. We're allowed to make a little money, but we don't have to extract huge amounts of money from people, and we can be generous. And that is always how you have operated, Nikki. Even in a time when you had little, you gave things away to people. Thank you.
Well, if you have any other questions, ask them quick before I cry.
Aww. And isn't
it's
it wonderful?
So great. Huh?
Isn't it wonderful after spending all of these decades, Nikki, looking around, as it were, looking behind you and seeing all of the people that you have touched and all of the work that they are doing and how your ideas have grown wings of their own and flown off and are working their magic in so many places.
And we're so similar in that way. I mean, we've always been soul sisters, but there's just so many similarities that we just couldn't even get into in this time frame, even if we have three times as much time. But the Earth School is still happening on the land in Forestville.
Yeah. So,
and,
listeners, what can we tell you? You've been listening to Nikki Scully talking with Susan Weed, and as you can tell, it's a mutual admiration. We love each other very much. If you like Nikki, you'll like me. If you like me, you'll like Nikki. If we're wrong, we're wrong. But give it a try. www.shamanicjourneys.com. Thank you, Nikki Scully, and thank you, listeners, for helping me reweave the healing cloak of the ancients.
Thank you, Susan.